Lamentations in chapter 1, and I'd just like to read verse 12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, whom Jehovah hath afflicted in the day of his fierce anger. Now in a well-known section in Isaiah chapter 52, Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and be lifted up and be very high, as many were astonished at thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the children of men. So shall he astonish many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them shall they see, and what they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of Jehovah been revealed? One New Testament scripture, please, in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. And having been found in figure as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that the death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him, and granted him a name, that which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of heavenly and earthly and infernal beings, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. I often think of that scripture in the Gospels that speaks about the Mount of Transfiguration, as we call it, when Peter, James, and John were there. And there were three tabernacles that Peter wanted to build, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved son." And they saw no one but Jesus alone. Now they saw him there in his exaltation. They saw him there in his glory. If you like, they had a little insight into what God had in mind in sending the Saviour to this world to save sinners like you and me. A little insight into the glory of the one who was going to do it all. And earlier today, we were occupied with the glory of this one. And these scriptures that I've read just came to my mind. The one in Lamentations. Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. The sorrow of Jesus when he suffered for you. You know, the Saviour that I present to you, as you well know, is my Saviour. I trust him because he died to save me from my sins. And I thank God that he is now exalted at God's right hand and that there's a place for me reserved. But I want you to know too that that place has been bought for me at tremendous cost by a Saviour who suffered and died at Calvary so that I might come into blessing. And I want to remind you tonight about the one who suffered for my sins. The one who suffered here is the one who came from God himself.
the one who has undertaken everything according to the will of God, as we were reminded this afternoon. He came from heaven, and he returned to heaven. And why was it that he returned to heaven? To prepare a place for you and me. And I have to ask you in the gospel tonight, if that place has been prepared for you, have you reserved it? Have you laid hold of it by trusting in the precious work of Jesus and what he's done for you when he suffered here and died at Calvary? Do you know, friend, we live in a world where these words at the start of this verse in Lamentations are so applicable. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? You think of the world today, and it passes by God's opportunity of salvation. Is it nothing to you that a day is coming when you have to face God? Is it nothing to you that you'll stand before the great white throne in a day to come and be judged in your sins? Is it nothing to you that the gospel goes out and full and free salvation is offered to you and you say, no, or maybe I'll think about it? Is it nothing to you? Friend, a day will come when you will stand before this God with whom you have to do, and you will have to give an account of yourself, and so will I. And what will you say? Those things called sins, it's not a word that people like to use nowadays. But that's what they are. And that's what they are before God. Come, he says, let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's your sins. Never mind whether man likes to dodge round these words that touch his conscience. There it is in Scripture. But the wonder of the gospel is that God says, come now and let's reason together. And that's what he wants to do with you tonight. I think it's amazing, you know, a verse like that in Scripture. That the Almighty God, who knows all about you, he knows you through and through, he knows your heart, he knows your sins. And yet, he's prepared to reason with you tonight. And he says, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as snow. Isn't it wonderful what God is prepared to do for the sinner tonight? And although I preach the gospel tonight to those whom I'm pretty sure all know the Saviour, I want you to make absolutely sure tonight in the gospel that you're trusting in the Saviour and in the precious work that he has done. Will you pass by? Will you ignore God's message of salvation when it is offered so fully and freely to you? Oh, but you say, I know the gospel inside out. I've heard it hundreds of times, perhaps even in this room. But I say to you this, has it ever touched your heart that the Saviour died for you to put your sins away? Never mind the sins of the person sitting behind or in front of you. He died for you. And in the day to come, when you stand before God, you won't be asked to give an account of anybody else's sins. But you'll have to do with God about yours. What are you going to say? What are you going to say about them when you're there? Friend, I know what I can say. I can point to the atoning blood and say that made my peace with God. And it has. The precious blood of Jesus has washed away every sin. Many sins, I can't forget them, but God has promised that he will. In fact, that's wrong. He's promised that he has. Because the work of Jesus is complete. and I can go free because of the wonder of what he's done. Oh friend, is it nothing to you? Will you pass by?
The one who suffered here upon Calvary's cross, spoken of prophetically in Lamentations, is the one who bore God's wrath in relation to my sins that I deserved. And no one can know what he went through for me. We spoke about it a little in the reading today, and I often think about it as you consider the sins of the world and how they were condensed down into those 3 hours of darkness to be borne by the Holy Lamb of God, Jesus, my Saviour, upon that cross. How wonderful that he should exhaust God's wrath. As the scripture says here, whom Jehovah has afflicted in the day of his fierce anger. He bore the storm for me. And I want to make sure in the gospel tonight that everyone here can say the same. Every one of us must have to do with this wonderful Saviour. And you know, if you're absolutely sure, and that's wonderful if you are, if you have that blessed assurance, as the hymn writer says, my desire in the gospel tonight would be that Jesus might become increasingly precious to your heart, that he might be everything to you. Because you know, a day is coming when those that love him are in glory. And that scene is going to be filled with the love of Jesus. And you know, the scripture tells us that every one of our hearts will be satisfied. Now, if you consider yourself in the world today, can you honestly say that your heart is satisfied? Oh, you may have some things that please you. You may have some things that give you enjoyment from time to time, but they come and go, don't they? But you think of God's promise that in eternity, every one of our hearts is going to be completely satisfied. Not only will there be no sorrow, not only will there be no pain, no anxiety, we shall rest in the love of God. And every heart will be satisfied throughout eternity. You say, well, how can that be? Well, I'll tell you how it can be. It's because Jesus is there. The one who suffered, the one who was afflicted by God on my account, the one who bore my sins at Calvary and washed them away completely in his blood, whom I trust for my forgiveness. He is the one who will fill and satisfy my heart throughout eternity. You think of that, a scene that will never end, and yet Jesus is there. And therefore my heart will be filled with joy eternally. I often wonder, you know, why it is in the scripture that we don't get, at least I haven't found them, very many descriptions of what heaven's going to be like. Sometimes people have asked me, what do you think heaven will be like? And I'm a bit stumped. But you know, the real answer is, heaven will be where Jesus is. And the one who has passed away this week, I know that was his longing. Just to be where Jesus is. But friend, in the gospel, we must face up to the truth of it. That you cannot be there unless you've trusted in the Saviour. You know, there's no other way. He says in John 10, doesn't he? I am the door. If anyone enter in by me, what is it? Ye shall be saved. Do you trust God's word? Are you prepared to enter in tonight and have to do with this living, glorious Saviour? Well, tonight the message goes out. The appeal of God's love is to whosoever will. Don't pass by like these persons to whom Jeremiah was speaking.
make sure you have to do with a Saviour God and know what it is to have peace that's going to last forever.
Now I turn to my scripture in Isaiah. It's a lovely scripture, isn't it?
Often think of this opening verse, you know, in Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our report? What a clarion call that is, you know. Can you place yourself in that verse that you've believed? I'm not asking if you know it. If you could expound the terms of the gospel, if you can quote verses from scripture, well, it's good if you can. But, you know, who hath believed in his heart?
I'm thankful that the Saviour that I present to you tonight is the one who suffered at Calvary and has been into death and has broken its power and has come forth triumphant. He was witnessed to. I think this is wonderful. He was witnessed to by many after he arose from among the dead. Why, but for those witnesses, maybe we'd have questions in our minds. But you think of the witnesses that were there. At one time, more than 500 people at once. The truth of the gospel stands. And the one who was despised and rejected of men is still appealing to the hearts of sinners tonight. That's God's glad tidings, you know. You look around, you see a world that's in chaos. Oh, friend, there's no chaos in heaven. Man in righteousness is there. Day is coming when he's going to come to this earth and he'll reign in righteousness too. It's a day to look forward to, isn't it? Well, you say there's going to have to be some changes before that happens. Well, there'll certainly be some changes when it happens. You think of that, you know, the very one whose title in the scripture is the Prince of Peace. And yet men are searching for it today. They'll only find it when they come to the one who says, my peace I give unto you. My peace. That's the only peace that will last. But in the gospel tonight, God is offering that peace to whosoever will. For he says here, to whom hath the arm of Jehovah been revealed? Well, everybody. It's been revealed to you, to me. It's been revealed to those who in Jeremiah's day passed by. And they probably did just pass by. Friend, tonight, the gospel message is going out for your acceptance. And you must receive it. It's presented to you like a gift. Well, what's the point of a gift if you don't receive it? If you don't accept it? Tonight, that gift is for your acceptance. And by faith and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know what it is for your sins to be completely washed away. But now look, the verse that I had in mind was this. As many were astonished at thee. His visage, or his face, in other translations, was so marred more than any man. And his form more than the children of men. We often think of the uniqueness of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. We often think of Jesus in the uniqueness of his perfection as he moved amongst men. But here, what do we have? The uniqueness of one whose face was marred more than any man's. When he was despised and rejected. When he knew sorrow like no other. And it was for you. And friend, it affects my heart that Jesus should go that way for me. Because that face that was marred more than any man's, I shall see face to face one day soon. I shall gaze upon the one who has loved me. And that face that was marred more than any man's, will be the face upon which I gaze eternally. And tonight, that face, if I can use those words, is looking upon you tonight, dear sinner, to save you. Are you prepared to come tonight to have to do with him? When all that radiates from that face tonight is the love of God made known in Jesus. And accompanying it is the power to save. What a saviour, isn't it? So we sang in our hymn, hallelujah. What a saviour. This saviour's for you tonight, for your acceptance. Why not lay hold of the truth of the gospel tonight and make it your own? And if you've already done it, and I thank God if you have, I want you to make sure that this gospel preaching doesn't pass without Jesus becoming more precious to your heart. And perhaps it resulting in a little more committal to be faithful to him. And I say this to myself. A little more committed to the way of dependence, of trusting him. A little more committed to the desire to represent the Saviour in the scene of his absence. I address all here tonight, believers or unbelievers. I say to you tonight, swing those heart's doors widely open. Let the Saviour in while you may. How do you know the gospel will be preached again? Possibly never will. Who knows? For the Saviour is coming soon. And you need to make sure that you've had to do with God. And as the scripture says, not tomorrow, but now is the accepted time. And now is the day of salvation. Jesus is unique in his sufferings. But he's suffered for you. Come to the Saviour tonight. In Philippians, I do want to speak of the one who's been exalted. And there's no one like him, you know. There's no one with such a name as he. God also highly exalted him and granted him a name that which is above everything. It's wonderful, isn't it, the name of Jesus. Precious to your heart. Sometimes when I get away, you know, as I oftentimes do, I come back and the name of Jesus is sweeter than ever. The name of the Saviour. The name of the one who gave his life so that I might live. He gave all that he had. What am I prepared to give for him? I want to give him my praises, my thanks. I want to live for him. I want him to have the first place in my life because I know often he doesn't. But I know he's worthy. And I know it because God has highly exalted him. Granted him a name above every name, and at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not just Saviour, but Lord. To God the Father's glory. And the wonder of it is that you may feel completely inadequate to do these things. But God has provided you with a resource in his Holy Spirit, whom he gives to all who ask him. Friend, I leave the gospel message with you. Don't be like those who just pass by. Don't dismiss it as just another Lord's Day evening service. God is speaking to our hearts. Let us respond to it. Let us have to do with him tonight as a Saviour. I remind you again. Each one will have to do with him. Will it be as saviour or as judge? You can have to do with him tonight. May God bless the word.